Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and I am the spokesman for the King. It's good to be here. We thank God that we're here on another session of Blog Talk Radio, and it's been a little while, I think, in July since we were on the air, so it's good to be here, and it's almost time for children and our grandchildren going back to school shortly, and then some, depending on where you are, they have already went back to school, so time waits on nobody, so we thank God that we're able to be here on another session of Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. We'd like to welcome all of our listeners, our Twitter followers, our Blog Talk friends and followers, our Facebook friends and followers, and our LinkedIn connections. Welcome to Truth Ministry. So thank God for you. And like the prophet Jeremiah says, is of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. The writer Jeremiah goes on to say, great is thy faithfulness. So we know that God is a faithful God. And so my ongoing question to you, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So that is so important, because you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost to get out of here. So the new birth, being born of water and of the Spirit. So being repenting of your sins, just like John the Baptist and Jesus, when they both came on the scene, message in the beginning was repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So it's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he goes on to say, for the promises unto you, this was initially to the Jews, to your children, he says, to all that are far off. That's talking about the Gentiles. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. He testified and exhorted with many other words. And here's what I like. Save yourself from this untoward generation is what he admonished us to do in his first message after the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. Thank God for that. So we had left off. We were talking about fellowship on our last session. So we just want to kind of, and we were in 1 John, and we're talking about fellowship and John and the us and the we. And so all of the us's and the we's, the same John who was that wrote St. John, he also wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd Epistle of John, and he also wrote the Revelation of Jesus Christ. So these are all letters that John wrote. When he says us and we, he's talking about the apostles initially. So we have to do with their, what they say. They were there. They were the ones that Jesus called out, sent forth. He chose them. He handpicked them. He taught them. They wrote the New Testament. They laid the foundations. I'm talking about the apostles. They wrote the New Testament scriptures, and they died a horrible death. So like I always try to drive home, that there are no apostles today. We're building on the foundation that they already laid. So all the apostles didn't write scriptures, but most of them did. Apostle Paul wrote more than anyone. He was last of all. He substantiated what I'm saying in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. He was talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Excuse me. Talking about the gospel. Excuse me. He said, one of the signs of being an apostle is what I've always tried to reiterate. He said, last of all, he was seen of me as one of born out of due season, but I am but what I am by the grace of God. So, it's so important. So, excuse me, not for us to try to be something that we're not, but operate in whatever gift God has called us to be. And so, excuse me. So we can only be who we are. We're not going to be more important, or we're not going to vaunt ourselves and make ourselves more important by vaunting ourselves. Just be who you are and do what God has called you to do. And we want you to know, as we know, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So, as I always say, this is Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus. And these individuals were already saved. They already had been to the water of water, repented, and been to the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus. They already had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. So you gotta, it's not no, I've heard a term, believer's baptism. Yeah, that's why it is, when you think about it, but you gotta do it. He said, like Jesus said in Mark 16 and 15, he that believeth, so that ETH, you gotta keep on believing, and is baptized, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So if you believe, then you're gonna do what he says. So he, and we always like to say, our Father which is in heaven, we say is the Lord's Prayer, but that's the model prayer. But actually, the Lord's Prayer is the 17th chapter of St. John. He said, I don't pray for these only, but also for them which shall believe on me through their word. This is Jesus' priestly prayer, talking about the apostles, and not just for them only, but them also shall believe on Jesus through their words. Believe the gospel. Believe the anointed one. Believe Emmanuel, God with us. And it's, you gotta believe God doesn't stop being God because he became a man, but he actually came into the world he made. And you know, that's why Mary was wondering, like, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? I mean, nobody is going to be with child, and except for that situation with Mary, the virgin, except they know a man. In other words, they have sexual relations with a man. And Mary knew, like, how in the world I'm going to have a baby? But, you know, we don't know exactly how young virgins felt during that day. We can imagine, but they knew that a virgin was going to be with child, and the child was going to be Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So it's the same one. Matthew picked it up and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Luke picked it up and said, Luke 1:35, the power of the highest shall come upon thee and shall overshadow thee. I'm going to do the exact quote because it just makes such a difference, because I know I'm right about it because I've studied it out and been taught. But it says, Luke 1:35, I'll go up a little more. This is talking about the Virgin Mary, so just to substantiate my point, and see, because that is my long-going subject incorporated with the lesson, and that is the Godhead, which is only found in three places in the Bible. In the sixth month, in the Luke 1:26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? It's a question. The angel answered and said unto her, this is what the verses I was talking about. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's the operative word, called the Son of God. So God is a spirit. It doesn't matter what he has become, but he is still a spirit. The divine essence of God is spirit. He always was and he always will be spirit. He can become, he can be what he can never be contained. So just say contained, just say he can never be what he is not. So in other words, he can't just be limited to one thing. But when he gets done being what he wants to be, goes back to being what he always was, what he never ceased to be, he's always God. So this is what we're talking about. So many don't know about the gospel of Jesus Christ, talking about the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, the sending back the Holy Ghost. You know, he ascended up on high and led captivity captive, all that he did. He descended first into the lower powers. He that descended In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the writer goes on to say, this is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens that he might fill all things. And so he sent back the Holy Ghost on the 50th day after the Passover. He was on earth for 40 days, went back 10 days later, sent back the Holy Ghost. He's coming back again, which means he's going to appear to take his church out of here. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, about verse 13. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, he goes on to say, comfort one another with these words. So that's the appearing. And in the book of Jude, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. He's coming back to execute judgment, to fight. And he's going to, after that, he's going to sit on the throne of David and reign 1,000 years. So when you read in the book of the Revelation, he's talking about, he's going to, about him reigning. And the rest of the dead is not going to live until the 1,000 years are fulfilled. This is the first resurrection. So the first resurrection has a number of parts into it, including the 12 tribes of Israel, the 144,000 that people, they call the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not the Jehovah's Witnesses. So that is the remnant of the 12 tribes of Israel that he is going to, they're going to be beheaded and they're going to be caught up too. So thank God for the truth. Like Jesus says, if you continue my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So we thank God that you have to search the scriptures. St. John 5:39, for in them you think ye have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. This is what Jesus has said. So should you desire to call in, should you have a question or a comment, you are very welcome. Our call-in number, our guest call-in number, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. You are very welcome, and we thank you for tuning in on today with Truth on Blog Talk Radio. So we're glad to be able to get into his word. And so as before, we left off and we were talking about fellowship, and we were in the first epistle of John. I just want to kind of, I know where I left off at. Verse 16 in the third chapter says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So this is where we left off at. We were talking about fellowship, and we were just talking about we know who we are and things that we're doing. We're not crazy, how we are in the world. We're not out of the world. We walk in the flesh, but we don't war after the flesh. So, you know, we have the victory. So it doesn't matter. So even if you're tempted, see, this is what people try to do. It doesn't matter. See, the devil's job is to tempt you. The devil's job is to seduce you. And John talked about that, about them that seduce you. But James said, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust is finished, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death. And he goes on to say, do not err, my beloved brethren. So we got to know what the word says. So we know what the word says, we can have the victory in the time of temptation. As someone said, when temptation comes, don't answer the door, send the word. So you better know what the word says, or you're going to be in trouble in the time of temptation. So he goes on here, but whoso hath this world's good, seeth his brother have need, shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And see, that is, sometimes people have convictions about certain things. It doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily sin, but if you have a conviction, somebody said, I remember an evangelist said that she couldn't braid her hair. That was her conviction. So, I mean, so if you have a conviction, that doesn't necessarily mean your conviction pertains to someone else. So that's where we get in trouble at. You know, okay, well, you don't look at a certain thing. I mean, I remember somebody was saying, well, we don't look at Oprah. Well, nothing wrong with looking at her, but, I mean, you can't make her your God either. So you just have to be careful. People talk about certain things that they don't look at or they don't do. I mean, there are movies that were out even this year. I think Selma, there's things that went on in the world, and people are bringing knowledge of these things out. And, you know, in the entertainment world, the movie world or Hollywood, whatever you want to call it. I mean, just, you know, everybody got to be persuaded in their own mind. This is what Paul said, let every man be persuaded in his own mind. So if you're not condemned, if something condemns one person, it condemns you to play catch with your son, then, hey, don't try to make that sin for me to play catch with my sons, because I did. I played baseball with them and everything when they were growing up. So, I mean, this is what this is talking about. You know, if our heart condemn us not, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. But if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, love one another, as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, and he in him, and hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. See, so I think when you really think about Jesus as a man, people just get, you get a picture in your mind of a picture that you saw, that somebody portrayed of someone. And that's not how he looked at all, because it's going to be in whatever culture you live in, the way they portray him. But when you really get technical, in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah talking about Jesus, he called him the arm of the Lord, and he went on, he says, when we should see him, Isaiah says, there should no beauty we desire. He was stricken and afflicted of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. Talking about Jesus. He was bruised for our iniquities. He goes on to say the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He's talking about our soul, not necessarily our bodies. Things happen to our bodies. That's the case. And somebody's going to die. That's why he said the dead in Christ is going to rise first, because there's going to be the dead or remain, the dead or alive. So the whole thing is, like someone said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The truth of the whole matter is, it doesn't matter if you're dead or you're alive. The important thing is to be in Christ, whether you're dead or you're alive. You're sleeping in Jesus, whether you're alive in Jesus. You're walking circumspectly, as Paul said, not as fools, but as wise, in the book of Ephesians, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. And that's where we're at now. The Spirit speaking expressly. The apostle wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, I believe, in Timothy. And anyway, he says, the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies in a hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That sounds like reprobate to me. If your conscience is seared with a hot iron, then it's ruined. That means you're reprobate. You'd be doing wrong and thinking you're doing right. So that kind of ties in with where we are today, because what we want to talk about here in the lesson, Apostle John describes fellowship as pertaining to the believer. So we got to continue. What happens to those who left? So he says, as we are getting ready to go into the lesson right now, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So he goes on here, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. It doesn't say God came in the flesh. Think about this. It says every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. That is saying that he is the Christ. That is saying that he is the Lord God. Because see, this is what Jesus told them when he gave Peter the keys in the 16th chapter of Matthew. And he told them, he says, he charged them to tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Not Jesus Christ, but Jesus the Christ. So we just have to realize who we are talking about. We're not just talking about an ordinary man. So this is, and when you talk about wisdom, in the book of the Corinthian church, he wrote in the first book, and he was talking about wisdom, and he was saying, which none of the princes of this world knew. And he goes on to say, had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Because he was saying, when the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, save them, believe. And he went on to say, you see your calling, not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. Said the weak things and the base things, and then, you know, the mighty things. And so the things that God have done. So he was just saying, he went on to say that the weakness of God is stronger than men, and the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Then he went on to say, you see your calling, how that not many wise, he didn't say not any, because Apostle Paul was a wise man. He said not many wise, not many mighty, not many noble. So you go, what do you got to do? You got to humble yourself and believe the word of God. So you got to understand that God created the world. Job said he stretched out the north over the empty place, and he hangeth the earth upon nothing. So there's nothing what we can see, but is hung out there by his word. He's so high and lifted up, he got to humble himself to behold the things that are in heaven and the things that are in earth, saith the psalmist. So he knows everything. That means he's omniscient. He's everywhere and every place. That means he's omnipresent, and he has all power. That means he's omnipotent. So that's why in the book of the Revelation they said the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Oh yes, he's going to reign because he has all power. So he is definitely going to reign. So one psalmist says, talking about the Lord, that he telleth the number of the stars. I mean, scientists, they're trying to figure out all of these things. And that's, you know, we were told like years ago, this is what some science is about. They want to defy God. You got the space station and all this stuff, and some sites that they look back on, it's magnificent when they look back on the earth from the space stations and look on. Yeah, you're seeing the handiworks of God. This is what the church is going to see. So what do you want to, see all of that? I'm not going to pay $1 million to go to Mars or whatever, because the secret things belong to God.
And so what you got to understand is if you do what God says, you've been born again, you're walking with him, you are going to inherit all things. You will be able at that day to think of, you want to go to Pluto or Venus or wherever, you can just think of it and be there. God is a wise God. So with that being said, the statement, true science and God's word is in perfect harmony. So there's no conflict when it comes to that. So you got the heavens declare the glory of God, the earth, the showeth forth his handiwork. So he goes, you know, talks about all of these things, and the psalmist goes on to say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He knows everything. He knows our thoughts are far off. So he knows everything. He already declared the end from the beginning. So hereby know we, ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And so, see, that's a revelation. He's got to reveal it to you. Every spirit that confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Think of it. Think of this. This is way back when John wrote that spirit of Antichrist was here. You imagine how it is right now. And see, I heard somebody say one time they didn't think that the Antichrist was living. I beg to differ. We're so close, he can very well be alive. Could be we don't know how old he is, but it's we're close. So this is why in the 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter, Paul wrote, he said, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now let will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even he who's working is after the working of Satan. You know, he's going to be sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. After the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, after the church is taken out of here, the world's going to prosper like never before. Then they're going to realize when the devil incarnate in a man sit in the temple of God in Jerusalem and want to be worshipped as God, they're going to realize they got deceived. So that's why you got to know right now. So that's why God, the writer goes on to say, Apostle Paul writing, said God's going to send them strong delusion that they might believe a lie because they received not the love of the truth, he said, that they might be saved. Then he goes on to say, you know, he's going to send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So this is some heavy stuff. It's important. So he's warning people. So what happens if you walk out of fellowship, you're prey for the devil. So you are, if you're not with God, you're anti-Christ. Not anti-God, anti-Christ, because Christ is God. He is the anointed one. So he goes on here. He says, you know, that Antichrist, you know, heard, we have, wherever you have heard that it should come, talking about the spirit of Antichrist. Then he goes on here, and even now already it's in the world, even back at that time. So he goes on, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Them who? Antichrist. And he goes on. So why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is that? The Holy Ghost. So this is why they wanted to know. They asked Jesus a question before he stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight when he was walking on earth those 40 days, speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And told them they should not go back to Jerusalem, but wait for the promise, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He went on to let them know, John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So they asked a very valid question. Lord, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He let them know it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said those words. He stepped on a cloud and was received out of their sight. Two men in white apparel, which are angels, they said, ye men of Israel, why stand ye gazing? The same Jesus which you see taken up, he's going to come in like manner. So that's talking about the second coming, not the rapture of the church or the appearing to take the church out of here, but literally when he comes back and steps foot on the Mount of Olives and cracks it in half, and 10,000 of his saints with him, he coming back to execute judgment. It's not going to be, it's going to be no joke. When God kills thousands of people in an hour. It ain't going to take God days, man. You don't want to be on against God, but you want to be on God's side because he is not playing. I mean, going to be blood. It's called the Battle of Armageddon, which in the Hebrew tongues, it means Armageddon in the Hebrew tongue, but literally it is the Mount of Slaughter. It's going to be so much blood. Have you ever rode a big horse? I used to ride horses. Horses are tall, and up to a horse's bridle, that's in his mouth. That's pretty deep in blood. Blood up to the horse's bridle, 200 miles long. That's a long ways. So that's some blood. That's some slaughtering some folks. So God is not playing. So that's why you want to be on the Lord's side. So he says, they are the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. He's talking about the Antichrist now. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. This is John talking. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So how you going to know? You got to get in the word. You got to be taught. See, God set it to solitary in families. He brings out those that are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in the dry land. Psalm 68 and verse 6. You got to be under authority in authority. You're a leader. You got to be under someone's authority. And so this is how God operates. So you're going to be taught when you do that. You're going to get the truth. Okay, you got to be in an apostolic church. That the preacher has been born again. He can't teach you and tell you about something that he doesn't have. That's actually Antichrist. So when that in 320 A.D., when Constantine had that devilation, which wasn't a revelation, there sprang the Protestant, the Catholic Church, came out of that stuff. And that is the horror that sitteth upon many waters, which actually, when you read the book of the Revelation, John makes it plain, the waters that thou seest is peoples. So God says, come out of her, my people. So God is not the author of confusion. So you know who he is, the devil is. So this is, somebody say, well, you won't speak with tongues, you just believe. No, that's because you don't have it, the leader. You've been born again, you're going to teach the same thing. Even the Jews, the only reason why the nation Israel, they didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah as a nation. There were people out of every kindred, tongue, and people. Even during that time, they were Jews. They were called the circumcision at that time. The Gentiles or any other nation were called uncircumcision. But he let them know he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So in other words, God's word circumcises your heart. That's done away with the law of Moses and all of those rituals and blood that they had to offer. But Jesus was the sacrifice himself. And once in the end of the world, a Hebrew writer said, he appeared to the presence of God to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So we sin willfully. The Hebrew writer says, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin, which is to say that Jesus is not going to die again. There's no more sacrifice for sin, but he's a propitiation of our sin, John said. We read about that before, not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. So in other words, you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Paul talks about the washing of the water by the word. So he's steady stepping on our feet. If we, you know, out of line, he loves us so much, he's correcting us so that we'll be in line. So that's why you got to be taught. That's why you got to be a preacher proclaims and a teacher explains. So you got to have God's word taught to you, God's word preached to you. When you read God's word, God is talking to you. When you pray, you're talking to God. So, I mean, and then God talk back to you is going to line up with his word. So there should be no conflict when you know what the word says, and you won't be deceived because you got to listen, because there are many deceivers out there. And this is what John is talking about here. So they're out of fellowship. They don't have. They're not, fellowship is a condition of being in an associate, mutual association of persons on equal and friendly terms, communion, companionship, you know, it's familiarity, they're intimate in their, what they believe. They believe the same thing. So in other words, to sum it up, joint interest. So you can't talk about what you don't have. I mean, we used to do that. We smoked weed years ago before I got saved, man. People that don't know about, people would tell folks about what they had and it was good. And the only people who could relate to that were people who done it. So that's the same thing about being born again. You can't relate to being born again if you have not been born again. Ain't no sense in playing around. I didn't come up this way. I got saved as a full-grown man, I was 23, almost 24 years old when I got saved. I was in the Baptist church. They didn't teach about the Holy Ghost or none of that, and I know that for a fact. So I knew, I didn't have any problem. I knew I wasn't right. I knew I needed to be saved, and I knew the they called them sanctified people. I didn't realize they were apostolics, but I knew there was a difference, and I didn't know about the Holy Ghost power, what it would do, how he was able to keep you. So you get the real thing. You're not dibbling and dabbling. You're not in the bar on Saturday night and in church on Sunday hungover and all that. No, you got the real thing. You walk with God and you're glad about it. It's not a chore, you know, just like to pray or to walk with God. It's not a chore. It's not a burden, but it's a privilege. So thank God for it. So he goes on here, they are of the world, therefore speak they are of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. This is what John is saying. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So God is not, he don't give love, as we say. He is the source and the supplier of love. He's a spirit. He's the source and supplier of love. So he goes on here, let us love one another. Then he goes on here, he that loveth not knoweth not God. God is love. This was manifest, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. See, it's the same thing that he had wrote earlier, that he was a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. What he's talking about, you haven't seen the glory of God. You haven't seen God in his fullness, like what Moses wanted to see. We saw him in the face of Jesus Christ. But to see the glory of God, Apostle Paul got a little taste of it. It's brighter than the look on him. No man can look on him in all his glory and live. And he's brighter than the noonday sun. And you know, we got to have sunglasses when we're driving. I think it sets in the east. I mean, it rises in the east, the sun sets in the west, I believe. You're driving in the west on a clear, pretty day, you better have your sun visor down and some good sunglasses, because you can't look at the sun. So he is the S-O-N of the S-U-N. He is the sure enough son. So he is God. So God in all his glory, you can't look on him. No man has seen him at any time. This is what he's talking about. And so not in his fullness like that. God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So his role that he played, talking about my Father, I'm the Son, and we're going to come and make our abode. I'm not going to say you got to pray the Father, but you're going to, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name, ask and it shall be fulfilled. You know, he's talking about that in the 14th, 15th, 16th chapter of St. John. So that is already been fulfilled on Pentecost. So he goes on to say, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we know, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And then he goes on here, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I was telling someone on the other day, I used to be a scary cat. I'm not scared no more. And so I'm pretty much by myself. So the whole point is, You don't. When you trust God and you believe God, you don't fear. So, and you can't see. So, but I'm not crazy. I'm not gonna just let somebody come up on me. Your body, your soul, and your spirit. So, if somebody was to come in my house on me, they better answer back who they are, because I'm not gonna just say hallelujah to a thief or a devil in my house. That don't work like that. So that's not having anything to do with it. But I'm talking about in the spiritual world. Some people cannot lay down at night and go to sleep because they are so fearful. I'm not going to be sitting up all night trying to look out the window and see. You know, I've heard of people doing things. No, there's no fear in love. So I trust him. I believe him, but I'm not crazy either. If I hear something, I know how I can get up and look, too, because he said, watch and pray. So that's what I was saying on before. You know, sometimes people try to throw off and act like you're crazy. And like, no, I challenge you. You try to make a fool out of me. I'm not going to let you if I could help it, not by God's grace. So that's what we have to let people know. You know, we're body, soul, and spirit. And so, it's, you know, there are things that are spiritual things in a marriage. Two saith he shall be one flesh. So you have a wife, or a wife has a husband. They're one flesh. So that's they're free to enjoy each other in marriage. You cannot marry the same gender. God did not ordain that. And it's wrong. So that's in all of the category of sin. All unrighteousness is sin. You cannot, it doesn't matter about no Supreme Court, because God is the judge of the whole earth. He's not playing. He is the righteous one. So it doesn't matter about who passed what in what state and all that. That's ridiculous. You cannot marry the same sex. Not in God's world. You can do what you want, but you're going to have to pay. Because you're in sin. You can't. That's, he made man and he made woman. And he made the man wasn't made for the woman, but the woman was made for the man. So in other words, if you love each other, you do it right, you get married. So that's that. And that don't change. It doesn't matter what man says. So that's what you call, they're antichrist. They want to do what they want to do. That's exactly what this is all talking about. They went out. So if you love, you're going to do, like Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So one of the commandments is, It never changed. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery has branches of in adultery. If a man has a wife and he messing around with a woman that doesn't have a husband, he is committing adultery against his wife. The woman who's messing with the married man, she's a fornicator. Both of them could be married. They're committing adultery against, he's committing adultery against his wife. She's committing adultery against her husband. Or the man could not be married and the woman could. The man is a fornicator. The woman is married. She's committing adultery against her husband. So there are branches. So two people with each other that are two people, it could be a male and a female, neither one of them are married, and they are having sexual relations with each other, they are fornicators. So, I mean, every case has to be judged by its own merit, and you got to know. So you can do what you want, but you got to pay. So there's a right way to do it, as we say. So in other words, get married to the opposite sex. And if you're in the church, you got to marry somebody that's of same like faith, and not just being compatible and all that, but you believe the same thing. So there's a right way to do it, and it doesn't matter, and it's too late now. When you know the truth, the devil is a liar, you might as well get back, because you know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So he goes on here, by this we know that we love the children of God, and we love when we love God and keep his commandments. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So he goes on, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. It's a question. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by blood, water and blood. It is the Spirit that bear witness, because the Spirit is truth. That's with a big S. That's the Spirit of God. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. These three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things write have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, and that ye know, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. See, this is, and you got to pay. We were taught, and it's very true in the book of Isaiah, pay very close attention to repetition. Precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. The 28th chapter of Isaiah, the ninth chapter of Isaiah. Those things are very important. So he goes on here, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, he shall give him life. For them that sin not unto death, there is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Now, this is talking about pastoral stuff right here. And here is the scripture that I make reference to. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. So in other words, he's not going to keep practicing sin. If you're saved, you're born of God, you don't keep sinning. That ETH, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. So you got to watch yourself. You got to watch your company. Some stuff you got to get away from, because you know that there's no good in it. And so you got association does bring about assimilation, so you have to be careful. We know that we are of God and that the whole world lieth in wickedness. We know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. And he goes on here, John ends this epistle saying, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. So people do have things that they idolize, so you have to be careful. So we thank God. So you don't want to leave. You can, you know, that spirit of error is out there. So people are trying to see the Jews. They know they messed up. They don't know. Cause that's why they're going. They're going to know that they messed up. And they keep going to that wailing wall and weeping and wailing. And that, and you know, like Moses had put a veil over his face when he talked to the children of Israel. When he came down out of the mountain, he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights, getting the commandments again, which he had broke when he came down and saw that Aaron and all of them had made golden calves and all out of the earrings, melted them down, and said, we don't know what happened to this Moses. Moses was so wroth with them when he came down that the tablets were written with the finger of God. He broke them. He went back up there. He had to write them again himself. But the point being, when he came down, he wist not that his face shone. That means he was in the presence of God. He glowed, as we would say. He was shining. He had to put a veil on his face when he talked to the children of Israel. The writer says when he talked to him, talking about God, he took the veil off. That's done away in Christ. So this is why the writer says in 2 Corinthians, he said it's done away in Christ. So when it shall turn to the Lord, then shall the veil be taken away. Talking about Israel, when they turn their heart to the Lord. And he goes on to say, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So they're going to look upon him whom they appear. Zechariah 12 and 10, that latter clause. He said, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. So they're going to know, they're going to realize that they crucified the Lord of glory. So we thank God for his word on today. And our ongoing question to you is, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? So we want you to continue on and to remember, like what we've been teaching about today in 1 John, the 4th chapter, when he says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. So you only have one soul, and you want to save your soul. Nobody in their right mind wants to go to a devil's hell. So we'll talk to you on next time. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory.